Radhavallabha amongst us, and Bhaktan Dushan, I believe. Thank you for coming. Welcome, Dobrodošli, no. similar. Yes. Thank you for coming. Und Nenad, herzlich willkommen. Du bist ja hier, aber was arrangieren? Ja.
Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare Hare
Wir lesen, Medini, aus dem Adi-Lila, Kapitel 7. Und zwar lesen wir Text Nummer, also um die 80 herum. Jetzt muss ich nochmal gucken. I will talk in English again. Yeah. Then you will translate from English to okay. No, because most of us are English speaking. Nee, oh Nena, du bist auch nicht so flüssig in Englisch, oder?
Sprichst du denn das auf Deutsch?
Bitte Mantra Korila Pagala. Pagala means crazy. My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays in his Shikshastaka. Imagine a disciple going to his spiritual master. What kind of mantra? Is this really good? What do you give? I've become mad by chanting this. So, Yugaita, Yugaitam Nimeshena, Shakshusha Pravishaitam, Shunjaitam Jagatsavam, Govinda Vidahename. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. It is the aspiration of a devotee that while he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will get more prasadam. I have made a mistake. It is the aspiration of a devotee that while he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will get more money. Oops. Also not correct. What is the aspiration of a devotee while he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Please, let us give it a third try. It is the aspiration of a devotee that while he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, his eyes will fill with tears, his voice falter, and his heart throb. These are good signs in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Gute Zeichen. His eyes will fill with tears, his voice will falter, and his heart throb. And these are good signs in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In ecstasy, one should feel the entire world to be vacant without the presence of Govinda. This is a sign of separation from Govinda. In material life, we are all separated from Govinda and are absorbed in material sense gratification. Therefore, when one comes to his senses on the spiritual platform, he becomes so eager to meet Govinda that without Govinda, the entire world becomes a vacant place. We will read one text more. Hasaya na chaya more koraye krandana eta shuni guru hasi balila vachana. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. Purport. When a disciple very perfectly makes progress in spiritual life, this gladdens the spiritual master, who then also smiles in ecstasy, thinking, how successful my disciple has become. He feels so glad that he smiles as he enjoys the progress of the disciple, just as a smiling parent enjoys the activities of a child who is trying to stand up or crawl perfectly. Wie bitte? Parent, yes, parent, Elternteil. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askajare Satarine Hare Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Aurmeda Garadhara Shiva Sri Govaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this text we hear now how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reports back to his spiritual master his experience while he chants the Hare Krishna mantra. He says that he has developed symptoms which beunruhigen him, which begin to make him think if this is all right. He has the following symptoms. He dances, he laughs, and he cries. It is described by Rupa Goswami that these are anubhavas. Anubhavas are voluntary expressions which one makes when one feels ecstasy in the heart. For instance, a devotee may feel ecstasy in his heart and then decide, let me dance to express my ecstasy. Or he may feel ecstasy and says, oh, this is, I must laugh now. But there are also ecstasies which are called sanchari bhavs, which are involuntarily, they just happen. The devotee cannot control himself. He will start to become pale in his face and so on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feels all these ecstasies, and in the role of a perfect teacher, he wants that now some clarification is given, and he doesn't want to give it himself. He wants his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, to talk about this. And he therefore now goes and says, I don't understand what is happening with me. Is this normal? Is this desired? I'm laughing, I'm crying, I'm dancing, is this good? What kind of mantra have you given to me? Who does this with me? Ishwarapuri will now give the answer in the next verse, and we will hear this tomorrow. I want to link this subject somehow to what I want to say today. It may not be so easy. I really feel he in this is a secret of preaching, that if you want to preach the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you must yourself feel some ecstasy. If you describe the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to your audience and you yourself don't like to chant, then it will not move your audience. If you want to be a preacher, you have to feel what you have in your heart. Now, preaching is very important in our movement for Krishna consciousness, because it's a very important value in spiritual life to become compassionate. It's in all traditions, also the Buddhistic tradition, compassion is used as a very effective weapon against the false ego. If we are compassion has to do something, has to do something with caring for others, and it's very important. It's an antidote, ein Gegenmittel, against the selfish desire to just take care of yourself and your own affairs. In fact, in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said by the servants of Lord Vishnu that you cannot enter the kingdom of God without being compassionate. You can't actually enter the spiritual world without the word there is merciful. It's very interesting. This is a very important value. Ishan, ein sehr wichtiger Wert im spirituellen Leben, Mitgefühl zu haben. This is very, very important. And I think we can understand why, because it takes care that the main, our main opponent which keeps us in this world is a false ego. Mm-hmm. So it's very good to become a compassionate person. And we will today talk a little bit about compassion. We will talk about Krishna's quality of being compassionate, in Sanskrit, karuna. Mm. Rupa Goswami gives a definition what compassion is, and he says, a person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Eine Person, die nicht in der Lage ist, das Leid eines anderen zu ertragen, den solch eine Person nennt man mit voller Mitgefühl. Sie ist voller Mitgefühl. Mm-hmm. So, Rupa Goswami gives us a few examples of Lord Krishna, who is compassionate. And then Prabhupada brings it to a very interesting perspective, which I want to discuss with you. The first example which Rupa Goswami gives is when Krishna shows his compassion for the imprisoned kings who were captured by Magadendra. Another name for Magadendra is Yarasandra. Yarasandra had actually defeated 20,800 kings in combat fighting. He was a very powerful fighter. His weapon was the club, but these were really a ton, you know, a club which weighed a ton, bang. It was, and after this, he had thrown them into his prison, which was a fortress, the Giri Droni fortress. He really tortured them there by giving them nothing to eat and, you know, really heavy Magadendra. So the kings were emaciated with hunger, their faces were dried up, and they were greatly weakened by this imprisonment, and they turned in prayer to Lord Krishna, please help us. They also managed to somehow send an assistant out of the fortress, dieser Bastion, würde man hier in Sachsen-Anhalt oder wie das hier heißt, Sächsische Schweiz sagen. This person could escape and bring a message of the imprisoned king to Lord Krishna in Dwaraka. He read it, and the kings really pleaded, please somehow save us from this extremely dangerous and difficult situation. So Krishna was unable to bear the distress of these kings and appeared before them in the Giri Droni festival fortress, and he was very, very, let me say, he really helped them just by his darshan. I want to read to you from the Bhagavatam how it was when the kings saw the Lord. By the way, this is often used as an example of when the conditioned soul who's in the imprisoned in the fortress of Maya sees the Lord. This is something, Frank, which will also happen to you. We are all like imprisoned kings, and we will hopefully one day be released by the good Lord. So let us see what this darshan was like to prepare ourselves. The kings then beheld the Lord before them. His complexion was dark blue, like the color of a cloud, and he wore a yellow silk garment. He was distinguished, is deutlich zu erkennen, by the Srivatsa mark on his chest. His four mighty arms, the pinkish hue of his eyes, which resembled the whirl of a lotus flower, his lovely, cheerful face. Krishna looked happy. He always looks happy. Even when it's just before the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna just smiles. His gleaming Makara earrings and the lotus, club, conch shell and disc in his hands. A helmet, a jeweled necklace, a golden belt, and golden bracelets and armlets decorated his form. And on his neck he wore both the brilliant precious Kustuba gem and a garland of forest flowers. The kings seemed to drink his beauty with their eyes, lick him with their tongues, relish his fragrance with their nostrils, and embrace him with their arms. The past sins now eradicated, the kings all bowed down to Lord Hari, placing their heads at his feet. Here you can see that this is really a complete realization of Krishna, where all the transcendental senses are awakened from their sleep and the Lord is totally absorbed in all ways. In this world, with our senses, usually one sense is predominantly active. Yesterday we ate and we saw something of Vrindavan in the video projection. Mostly you can see when you can do one thing at one time. It's not so ideal, this type of viewing. So here the kings, all the senses are engaged. They drink his beauty with their eyes. In other words, they see him, they taste him, they smell him, and they touch him with their arms. So then the kings, who were totally revived by the darshan of Lord Krishna, said a prayer which I want to say with you because it's so beautiful. It translates into obeisances to you, O Lord of the ruling demigods, O destroyer of your surrendered devotees' distress. Since we have surrendered to you, O inexhaustible Krishna, please save us from this terrible material life which has made us so despondent, so verzweifelt. So please repeat after me. Namaste te deva deve. Let me just find the right tune. Namaste te deva devesha. Namaste te deva devesha. Namaste te deva devesha prapanati haravaya prapanan pahi Krishna Krishna
Krishna
Nirvinan
Nirvinan
Gaura
Gaura
Samsritihis Please save us from this material life, they said like this. So you can understand, Lord Krishna was extremely compassionate. He could understand, my devotees are suffering in this prison, let me come. And he revived them or revitalized them by his most merciful darshan, which helped them very, very much. So another example is the compassion which Krishna showed to grandfather Bhishma. I think you know this compassion. Grandfather Bhishma had been pierced by many arrows and was lying now on a bed of arrows. The arrows just went through him and he was lying some distance above the ground. And he could clearly see that the sun was coming into a very good constellation to leave one's body. So he prepared himself, but he had this one desire. He wanted to see Lord Krishna again. And Lord Krishna understood Grandfather Bhishma's desire. He also understood that he would be extra happy if he would see his grandsons, the Pandavas, happy. So he came bringing all the five brothers with him to the place where Bhishma was lying. Now, you could think that Lord Krishna, being the almighty Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not very much moved, because for him death and life are really not the same as for any living entity. For Lord Krishna there is no death, and for that matter there is also no life the way we know it. Life for us means embodied life in a body, but Krishna is always he never takes on a material body. So you could imagine that he looks upon the scene with some distance, natürliche Distanz, not emotionally involved so much, but it's different. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. He had to cry. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. He felt so much Mitgefühl, so much compassion, he forgot himself. I don't really know what he said, but it must have shown in what he said. But he was really so moved, he cried from his lotus eyes, and so on. Rupa Goswami has written a prayer collection. It's called the Stava Mala, and there Rupa Goswami describes very, very nicely the compassionate nature of Lord Krishna. He says to Lord Krishna, O destroyer of the demon Agasura, my heart burns with despair for Verzweiflung when I hear of the difficult spiritual practices of the saints of old times like Shukadev and Ambarish, for I am totally devoid of devotion. You know, the devotee thinks in this mood, Ambarish did so much austerity, he fasted for a whole year, I mean, I can't do this. Or Shukadev Goswami, how wonderful this Shukadev Goswami is. He's just walking through the world, finding this Parikshit Maharaj. He's not really taking care of his external appearance. He is so much absorbed in Krishna. Where do I have a chance when I compare myself with these souls? My heart is burning with despair. But, says the devotee, when I hear from the scriptures and the sadhus that the waves of your compassion are flowing towards everyone, from Brahma down to the lowliest creature, the drops of nectarian hope cool off my heart and pacify it. In other words, the devotee understands, Krishna, if Krishna just would be, you know, impressed by austerities, I would have no chance. But he's a compassionate Lord, and the waves of his compassion flow to Brahma, but even the little end, which really doesn't serve a big function in the Lord's creation, an end, there's so many ends, isn't it? But Krishna is compassionate to the end. When the devotee hears this, he thinks, wonderful. There's another shloka by Jagannath Das Babaji who says like this, listen to this: my dear Lord, when I hear of your name, Bhakta Vatsala, I begin to cry in distress. Because it means the friend of the Bhaktas, because I'm not a Bhakta. But when I hear of your name, Dina Bandhu, the friend of the most fallen, then I have hope. then I jump up and down in happiness. Wonderful prayer, isn't it? So this is all, it's nothing else, these prayers. It's an expression of great happiness to understand about Lord Krishna's karuna. Karuna means compassionate nature. Now the devotees, now let me say, do you feel there is a need for Krishna's compassion or mercy to come in your direction, or no need? You can do it without. I think we all feel, as we grow older in our lives, if there is not a divine intervention in our life, we don't have much chance. Isn't it, Yogesh? What will you do on your own? A few better yoga exercises? The real improvement in the life will happen not by your own activities, but by the kripa, isn't it? The mercy. In India, we understand this very clearly. The West has sometimes difficulties, but Indians, they know kripa is most important in spiritual life. So if you want to now get the kripa, the mercy of Lord Krishna, you must now hear very, very attentively. It might change your whole life now. Prabhupada writes, devotees who know of the compassionate nature of Lord Krishna directly turn to Srimati Radharani. Why? Because she is the compassion of the Lord incarnate, so to say. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Very intelligent, the devotee. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. There is a very nice shloka by Raghunath Goswami. Anaradya Radha padambhujarinom anashritya brindataving tatpadankam asambhasya tadbhava gambira chitan kutashyama sindhu rasyavaga. How is it possible to immerse oneself in the ocean of Syamras? This is love for Krishna or the Madhurya Rasa, without worshipping the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Wie ist es möglich, in den Ozean einzutauchen von Syamras, ohne Zuflucht bei, ohne den Staub der Lotusfüße von Srimati Radharani zu verheeren? Or without taking shelter of Vrindavan, which is decorated with her footprints? Or without serving her devotees, whose grave hearts are always absorbed in love for her? Srila Prabhupada has encouraged the devotees to actually approach Srimati Radharani. He has a prayer which he entitles A Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna. And listen what Prabhupada here says. I emphatically say to you, emphatically heißt mit Nachdruck, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So a devotee will will say such prayers where he goes directly to Srimati Radharani. There were many nice prayers which I have written down. Hadevi Kuku, but I have written it down in another piece of paper. Here's one. O Srimati Radharani, your heart is like an overflowing ocean which overflows with compassion. O Radhika, please let your mercy flow into my heart, and please be satisfied with this person who wishes to become your maid servant. And Srimati Radharani is very compassionate. And for instance, in the Gahabal forest, that's the forest around Vashana, there is one monument to one person. He was a Muslim, and he was a barber, a friseur. He was married to his wife, whose name was Radha. And Radha left him, as it is done in this world, to be together with one Muslim boy. He was very beautiful and muscular, this Muslim boy, and he felt very bad. Oh no. Graceless lady, why did you leave me like this? And to a Muslim man, he doesn't even eat veg, he eats non-veg, you know. so he went all over the place calling Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. One day, one sadhu said to him, "If you want to get Radha, you must go to the forest in Vashana." So he went to the forest in Vashana and he called Radhe, Radhe, meaning his wife who had become unfaithful. Radharani heard it. He asked Lalita, "Please go there and see who's calling." So Lalita went and came back and said, "It's home." It's an ordinary affair of this world. One girl has left her boy, a man, and now the man is crying, and you wouldn't like to go and see him. No, said Radharani. I will give him his mercy, my mercy, because he has called out the name of Radha. That's me. And in this way, this man was really, he was given his spiritual body just by the mercy of Radharani. There are millions of stories like this in Vrindavan. Each grain of dust can tell you a story of Radharani's mercy. Prabhupada says, if you want to come to get the compassionate nature of Krishna, you should turn to Radha, because Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. And whenever someone becomes connected with Srimati Radharani, then Lord Krishna will be easily pleased. And Prabhupada said in the lecture in London that if Radharani recommends your case to Krishna, he will take it very seriously. This is our best chance. So yes, so I think for devotees it's very important to know of this compassionate nature of Krishna. See, when we approach Krishna through sadhana, so through Vaidhi Bhakti sadhana, we are very concerned or very aware that it's extremely necessary for us to give our best by following the rules and regulations which are there in the Vaidhi Bhakti sadhana. This sadhana will regulate our lives and will pull us by force from the lower modes of material nature to the execution of devotional service. By force we will be brought to this. And now sometimes it may happen due to circumstances where your conditioned nature is also very big, that you can't really be so successful in following all the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti sadhana. It is, sometimes we are sick, sometimes we can't get out of bed because we are weak and so on and so forth. And sometimes when we come into this situation, we might feel very guilty. Oh, I'm so useless. Look at me. I better hang myself on the next tree. You know, you will be surprised to find out that when I was in America, when I came to, I wanted to come to New Vrindavan, but just that day when I wanted to come, someone was found who had shot himself. Yeah? He killed himself, a young boy, suicide. Because he felt so useless. He wanted to be a devotee, but he was attached to indecent behavior, I think some bad activity. I don't really know, nor did I ask, because everyone was so sad. You don't ask. And so much a celebration was made, and everyone just cried. The whole of New Vrindavan was swept away by the tears of the devotees, you know. And very often it does happen that you feel such a guilt. Oh, I'm such a low-class person. Look at me. Isn't it? We sometimes feel this. No. Therefore, it is, I feel, very important to sometimes meditate on the compassionate nature of Krishna, who even comes to the most fallen, who has a heart for his devotees who try in this material world so hard to somehow become Krishna conscious. Krishna is very compassionate. He saved the kings from the prison. He came to Grandfather Bhishma bringing the 5 Pandavas with him to make grandfather happy. After all, grandfather Bhishma was on the opposite side, but he just liked the 5 Pandavas so much. He just, his heart was going out to the 5 Pandavas. When he saw the 5 Pandavas well and healthy and hearty, he felt so, wow, now I can die. Now let's look at my grandsons are well, good. And so on. So Krishna knew this and very compassionate. What do you need to do to become compassionate? Is a relevant question. Is there something you can do?
We can meditate about what we got and that the others don't have it, and that they are just using their time and their lives without a chance to get out of the tree.
You can, Peter says, we can look at what we have got and that what the others don't have, and how they have no chance really to get out of their situations. It's very interesting to compassion. You have to make 3 steps really. You have to first of all see that the situation of someone, and you have to see it with empathy. Empathy is something like Einfühlungsvermögen in Deutsch. You have to understand what the person goes through. And then the next step is you have to want to do something to help. You have to. But it's very important that you make the first step, that is an emphatic understanding of the person's situation. Because if you don't understand the situation, you won't know how to help properly. It's just like, you know, when a little baby cries and you don't think what's wrong, you might give him the wrong thing. Like the baby might want milk very much and you give him this Leibniz, this dry crackers, which increase the problem, you know. So you must understand what is it that the baby needs. You need some empathy, some Einfühlungsvermögen. This is the first thing. Then the second thing is you must want to help. And the third is you must do something practical to help. Very, very clear and very logical. Krishna is giving his compassion to the fallen conditioned souls, and he wants that the devotees become instruments of his compassion. And he has said in the Gita that of all the welfare workers, he really considers his devotees to be the most glorious ones, and says in this world he has no his devotees who preach. In this, he says, in this world, he has no dearer servants than the preachers. Did you know this? If you want to become dear to Lord Krishna, it's very nice if you can do something to preach, because he says in his own autobiographical work, the Gita, that no servant in this world is dearer to him. In this world, the devotee really wants to become dear to Krishna. He wants to be recognized by Krishna as someone who has done something for him, isn't it? So Krishna is very compassionate. Let us, excuse me please, rise to the occasion and become compassionate. Are instruments of his compassion. And for this we really need to ask the question, what does a person really need, so that we don't feed him the cookie when he needs milk? This Einfühlungsvermögen must be there. For instance, what does a devotee need so that he can stay his whole life in Krishna consciousness? This is a very important meditation for those who want to spread Krishna consciousness. Not just what does he need for his beginner's enthusiasm. You know, there it's clear. He needs nice prasadam, good association, a challenging service maybe where he can improve. But what does he need for his whole life, Gaurahari? He may so many things need to change his ashram. He may need some food for the mind. He may need culture. There's so many things on the way. You know, life is a long way. What does Bhakta Frank, as Gaurahari always says, Bhakta Frank, need to be a devotee for the rest of his life? This is very important meditation. What does Gangamayi need? What does Medini need? Is it different things? Yeah. We must meditate about this. What does Yogesh need? A lot of mercy. Yeah, so you must think like this. Krishna. So Hare Krishna, I want to end here. I very much like to just speak about Krishna's qualities. Tomorrow I will speak about some totally different quality of Krishna. Now, yesterday we heard similar quality. Yesterday was... Sorry?
Love.
He is conquered by love. Yeah, conquered by love. Prema Vashya. Tomorrow we will hear he's popular. Krishna is popular. The Sanskrit word is Raktaloka, the enchanter of the world. You hear about Krishna's popular nature. Good. So, do you have any questions regarding what you have heard? Ishan?
Die letzte Frage, die du jetzt immer wieder gestellt hast, was Frauen bestimmte Personen erleben, dann Krishna sein zu können.
Ja.
Gibt es da eine generelle Antwort drauf, oder wolltest du damit sagen, dass es tatsächlich ganz verschieden ist?
Ja. No, ich kann ja verstehen. Ishan was asking, when I posed this question, what does a person need to come to Krishna consciousness? Is there to stay his whole life in Krishna consciousness? Is there a general answer, or is it just very different? Obviously, there are very individual needs, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a general categorization of these needs, and he has mentioned four needs. We have a physical need, and with physical is also proper income, you know, something for our body. We have emotional needs, which are very, very strong. By the way, we have learned many devotees who have not been able to uphold their Krishna conscious practice say a reason is emotional. They're emotionally not fulfilled. There are emotional needs, and then there are social needs. So these are three material needs, and then come spiritual needs. And here Rupa Goswami describes three desires of a devotee. It's very interesting to hear. The the spiritual need of a devotee is I have usually a good memory in these things. I just need to come to the memory file. He wants to come close to Krishna. He wants to please Lord Krishna by his service. And he wants to feel the mercy of Lord Krishna in his life. These are spiritual needs. You need to come closer to Krishna in your life. You want to serve Lord Krishna in a pleasing way with your service. This is a spiritual need of the soul. And finally, you want to feel his mercy. Some reciprocation needs to be there. I think we can, very nice how he analyzed it. So there are spiritual needs and material needs which a devotee has. And the Shastras, it is said, it is not material if you try to fulfill the material needs. Like Jiva Goswami says, ordinary kindness to a devotee is Vaishnav Seva. It's not that it should not be done. Or when a devotee is sick, you say, this is only the body probably. it's not proper to say like this. Gadara and myself, we tried to really produce a vision. We pray to Lord Krishna and to Prabhupada that they are merciful with us so that we can, in this preaching thing which we have in mind, go in this direction and so on. It's a process which will not happen overnight. Also, to find these, the vision is a process which also, at a certain stage, you all will be asked to think about this and see and so on what to do. Good. But how you want the mercy, or how is your emotional well-being, is very individual. Very individual.
So that means to show compassion to to other person means to find out how it has, in which way it has to be given to us.
Yes, correct. That's why empathy, Einfühlungsvermögen, is so important for a preacher. Don't we all know this preacher who preaches to us? I mean, maybe we don't have any practical experience ourselves, but imagine, you know, sometimes people laugh about preachers because they really, the messages don't just, die treffen gar nicht zu, nicht? Also, das geht um. A Maharaji is crying and comes to the preacher's office. Maharaji's husband has not behaved properly or whatever. And the preacher says, "Chant Hare Krishna." And Maharaji is all emotional and needs something for the emotions. And it does. It's not good preaching. Or a Sankirtan boy. A Sankirtan devotee has some problem and comes to Mr. Preacher, and the preacher doesn't even want to hear it. I know what is wrong with you. Your relationship with your guru is is not working properly. So it's very discomforting if you go to a preacher, or if you do the when the preacher just has a shablone for you, and you really feel, das war das letzte Mal, wo ich zu dir hin bin. Ne? Also, ja. So we must keep this individuality in mind.
Mm-hmm. So that means that it can look from outside quite ordinary, what one gives to a person, or even not much spiritually, how one can be protected not to cheat a person.
Mm-hmm. If one gives something like very ordinary advice, sleep more, for instance.
How can it be impregnated with compassion, real compassion?
The real compassion is something, it is an attitude in the mind. When you really have the attitude to help someone, then and not exploit the other person in some ways, then you usually will know what is there. There is a very nice saying in German. This is not from the Shastras, but it is very wise. If you want to teach someone how to build a boat, don't talk to him about nails and wood. Talk to him about the big ocean and how nice it is. And then he will automatically know how to bang the wood together. Maybe he will have to ask Frank for some little advices because a little practical knowledge must be there, but it's really you must have the right motivation, and once you have, then you know, and you won't make the mistake. So it's really not so easy to be compassionate. And therefore I find the three steps very, very good. The first step, what is the situation of the person? You have to understand this. What is the situation of that particular person? And then you have to have a desire to help. I think this is very, very important in preaching. For instance, yesterday we had such a nice spot in Harinam, and then the devotees wanted to put on the loudspeakers here in Heidelberg. I said, no. Let us see, the people are coming here, and they have so much, it's a good echo, it's good sound. They have so much in their minds and so much in their heads. If we now blur out, they have to go like this. It's not good for them. And also the shop owners will, it's difficult to hear for a few hours just the Hare Krishna mantra if you are known to so much variety of music, and you are. And we are also not the very best musicians, just mittelmäßiger Durchschnitt, It is quite difficult to hear this all the time. So let us make it a little bit more easy for the people, the devotees. Now, I remembered very much, I was in Florida. We went on Harinam, and the Harinam was very joyful. Then one devotee went, there was a Blumenbeet. How do you say Blumenbeet in English?
Flowerbed.
You know everything. There was a flowerbed, and the devotee thought he just took all the flower, he broke the flowers and threw it over the Harinam. Because he could, glory, 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 the purpose of flowers is to serve the Vaishnavas, and they should be sufficiently glorified. And there's a Swami, he's after all a divine grace, so let us throw flowers on him. And I stopped the whole Harinam, the Bodhisattva, I don't know. And I said, let us now move just one step back. Let us ask the question, for whom do we do the Harinam? Do we do it for us? Or for someone else? The devotee said, no, we do it for the people, because if we would do it for ourselves, we would do it in the temple. It's nicer with the deities and so on. And we would do it for Krishna there. Okay, so we do it for the people. Now let us look from the perspective of the people on what just happened. There are some very avant-gardistically dressed people. They sing a new song with unusual instrumentation. There's no acoustic guitar. And no keyboards, and the drums are hand drums. And now all of a sudden someone just ripped the flowers away and threw it on the people, and they stepped on the flowers. It took a long time to grow the flowers, you know, a few months before such nice flowers come out, and the whole floor is now messy because the colors of the flowers have spread on the floor. What do you think will the people, will they appreciate the Harinam? What is your thought about this? And the devotee just went in the ground. It's a poor devotee who did it. And I wanted to do this. I didn't want to make a Vaishnava aparad. I just wanted devotees to understand, when you're preaching, you must look from the eyes of the people for whom you're doing this, isn't it? The devotees, they will never forget this. Oh, Maharaj, don't look at us. We are very ordinary people from America. Please do not be kind to us. So das ist nicht so einfach, dieses Einfühlungsvermögen muss man schon machen. It's very difficult for us to have this. It requires some personal maturity, really. Eine persönliche Reife muss man dazu haben. Es kommt, wenn man älter wird. Dann kommt, ach, was man alles gemacht hat, gar nicht dran denken. Good, so I think we have reached a natural conclusion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.